الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. As we have explained, tried to explain, that rozas have been made farz upon us, and the Sufis write on every part of the body also. And we should try and keep that roza according to that. Not just the basics of roza, our farz will be done. We will be absorbed of our farz. But to get the benefits and the anwarat and the barakat of roza, keep roza of every part of the body also. And it's just for a few days practice, and you will get taqwa on that, and the taqwa will remain with you. And the great, great benefits of taqwa that will be with you. You will be the friend of Allah Ta'ala also, and all other great material, dunya's benefits also. Spiritual are innumerable. And the effort is just for a few days. This days of Ramadan, make that effort. So with regard, we spoke to one roza of the eyes that a person should keep. Control his eyes. Another is roza of the tongue, that we should learn to control our tongue. This is also a very, very important thing which we, our mind doesn't go to also, that we have to control our tongue. And this is the training period of Ramadan, that if we do it now for the rest of the year, for the rest of our lives, and because of the tongue, how many people get involved in so many big problems. Court cases result because of the misuse of the tongue, and a person falls into great, great problems. It also mentioned that speaking excessively, even if it's permissible things, and just many of us are such, we just can't keep quiet. Any conversation, we have to say our say. Until we don't have our say. Between husband and wife also, they have an argument, then both of them, I must have the last say. And we won't sleep also at night till I have the last say. The partner says something, again I have to say something. So this, that we just have to say something. And today, unfortunately, on the social media also, all the various groups, somebody says something, then everyone, and a person feels, still I don't have my say. He just, his fingers itch. And today we are talking with our fingers also. On the cell phone, we are sending all messages, we are talking with our fingers. And there also we have to say something. So that also we have to try to come out of it. And this is a great sabr, that you really want to say something, but you control yourself and you keep quiet. And if the speech is silver, silence is gold. A person can learn to keep quiet. Where it is necessary, it's necessary to speak. But this habit which has become common, and also it is one of the objects of all the whole schemes which are behind the cell phones, etc., to get everyone to speak more. So you have various packages that you have, and free calls you can make. They want you to speak, your inside must come out. And we get surprised also, you get an email, you get a call, and they have ready-made answers for them. They, in other words, they have gone through that email already. They know what is in it, and you, if you want to, you can just, the ready-made replies you can give. So they are watching us, the big brother story of theirs, to watch us all the time. That is there, and they are watching us. So the less a person speaks, the less he divulges of what is inside. But in this, that everyone, they make out what kind of a person are you. What is your direction? What are your ideas in life? Everything. And we are just giving, and for this, they needed a lot of intelligence, for which they had to pay a lot of money. And now just by allowing us free calls, they are achieving that. So anyway, we should try and control ourselves. Ulama have written from the hadith that a person who speaks a lot and he laughs a lot, that person's heart is dead, it dies. Not the physical heart, that will still carry on working. But your spiritual heart, in other words, your ruh dies. And once your ruh is dead, now the nafs takes control. And shaitan enjoys that. And it prompts the nafs even more. And now nafs will only make you do wrong things, say the wrong things, etc. So there's a lot of speaking, which is unfortunately, and it is regarded a person good company. If we're having a function, a braai or something, we don't want somebody there who doesn't speak. And he just keeps to himself, he doesn't speak. We don't like such a person. We want somebody that for everything he's got a comment. And we start discussing about somebody also, that he will have a comment. He's got a comment for everything. That is what we got as good company. In the workplace also, we are working somewhere, and that person is always talking, and he's got something to say about any and everything. That person is regarded as very nice and smart. But in the eyes of Shariat, in the eyes of Allah Ta'ala and Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is two completely opposite things. That person who talks a lot, one person, there are many such instances. Well, just one person, he was with his family in Hajj or Umrah. And after Asr on a Friday, behind Hajj, behind Maqam Ibrahim, he was making family with dua with his whole family. And after Asr on a Friday, and in that he passed away. What a Mubarak mort. Amongst his very many manasib, his good qualities, one was, like whenever there was any gathering, family gathering, visitors came, and then mostly we go into unnecessary talk. And then he should just separate himself and start reading Quran Sharif. That was one of the things, and what a mort Allah gave him. So we have to become favorites of Allah, not favorites of the people around us. And what kind of people? People who have got wrong ideas, and we want to become their favorites. Become the favorites of Allah. Become the favorites of Allah Wala. Those who are men of Allah, who turn to Allah, you become their favorite. That is a great achievement. So there's a lot of talking and laughing also. There are many also such that you just hear them loudly. They are laughing all the time. For nothing also they are laughing. Just laughing all the time. This kills the heart. Amongst the other harms also, this is one great harm, that your spiritual heart is killed. Your ruh, you are killing it yourself. Who is the real owner of this body? The ruh is the real owner of the body. And you are killing the ruh, then automatically the nafs takes over. And nafs is worse than shaitan also. Now, who made shaitan go astray? Another shaitan didn't come and make shaitan go astray. It was his nafs that made him go astray. So our worst enemy, and shaitan is not with us all the time. Nafs is with us all the time. And nafs is ammara bisu. It commands you to do evil all the time. And shaitan aids it all the time. So just a lot of talking is very, very harmful. And we should try and avoid it. And don't worry, people can call you a snob. People can call you that you are a bad company. You don't talk. You're just keeping to yourself, etc. Let them say what they want to. You, for Allah's sake, you try and only speak when it's necessary. And then also think what you say. That also we all commonly say, think what you speak. But we all generally, we think afterwards. We speak first and afterwards we think. And we say you're putting the cart in front of the horse. But we are doing that all the time. We first speak and all, it's common with us, we say, I shouldn't have said that. I should rather have said that. I should rather have kept quiet at that time. So we first talk, blurt out. The tongue is so out of control that we just blurt out and afterwards we are sorry. Whether it's a relationship with the wife, with the children also, how lot we hurt the feelings of our close family members. We will do spend money also, how many of us, and then what we say, hambrawanu, that we now tell them that, you know, I spent so much money on you people. I did this for you, I did that for you. And the Quran Sharif clearly says that if you speak about your favors in front of those that you have shown favors to, you have destroyed all your good deeds. All of it, you have caused more harm to yourself. More guna you have taken on your shoulders now when you speak. And that is also a common thing. To teach them to appreciate is something else. We have got our priorities also completely wrong. And to teach them to appreciate and to teach them adab and etiquette is one thing. And to ihsan jatana, and to tell them and remind them, I did this, I do this for you, I do that for you, and all your sawabs, you lose it in the process. And in fact, you collect gunas in its place. So a person must be very careful. Also, when this lot of talking takes place, then one common thing that one natural illegitimate child of this is ghibat, backbiting. The minute you start talking, you are almost inadvertently and definitely you're going to fall into ghibat. There is also a very good thing if we have in our homes also, because when we are eating any time or any other time, families together, we fall into ghibat. One good friend of ours, Allah give him jannah, he has passed away. He says when the family sits and eat, this is his example he gave. He says if you want to eat prawns, eat prawns. The question about prawns, whether it's makruh, not makruh, etc., there is a bit of detail in it. But he says if you want to eat, eat prawns. But don't eat the imam of the town. And don't eat the alim of the town when you are sitting to eat. That is totally haram. Meaning thereby, it is like we are putting his body on the table. And now we are discussing him. And any alim, Hazrat Maulana Ahmed Buzurg, the present principal of Dabiel Madrasa, is also Maulana Ahmed Buzurg, his grandfather. He used to say, if anyone backbites about 10 alims, he said, I give you the guarantee that after he's buried, we put his head facing the Qibla. I give you guarantee his face will be turned away from the Qibla, which is a very, very dangerous thing. Also it is common that the flesh of every person, which is in the hadith, in the Quran Sharif, that if you eat that flesh, that is you are eating the meat of a dead person, who will eat human body. And that also the dead, or when the person has died, then you eating his body. It's like all these terrible birds, vultures and eagles, all these birds that eat all this, all the dogs that eat of that. We become like that. We are like that when we are backbiting. So when you backbite about an alim, it's much more dangerous. The meat is much more poisonous. And it harms your iman terribly. To backbite about any person is haram. But the ulama, to backbite about them. And today it has become the fashion and the art to discuss about the ulama, and in which we fall in backbiting. So what we should try in all this, have somebody, and we don't realize we have fallen into backbiting. Even if it's a little child, and backbiting, we can explain it, otherwise people understand what is backbiting. The minute it starts, let that person say, backbiting, ghibat. Ghibat has started, so that we can stop. Because a person is not even conscious that we have fallen into backbiting. We go so much into it, and we start enjoying it also so much. And what a sad case to enjoy the flesh of a dead person, to eat the flesh of, and that is what it is. What we hear commonly in Fadail Amal, those two ladies whose rozas became unbearable, and they were on the verge of dying, and they brought the case to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And what ilaj, completely, we will say that just like Musa alayhi salam, when his people told him, we caught between the sea and the army of Fir'aun. He took a stick and hit it on the sea, which made no sense outwardly to people like us. But those who know what it is, what great thing he had done. So here also, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam didn't give them some bayan or warn them. He sends a bowl for them. They tell them to vomit in that bowl. What is the crime and what is the reaction? Something completely. But when they vomited, though they kept roza whole day, fresh meat actually came out. And then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, it was a miracle of Nabuwat that this happened. He said they kept roza and stayed away from halal food. while they ate haram food. And what haram food? Hey, the meat of your dead brother, the meat of your dead sister. Who of us will ever want to? Well, usually, if there is a mayyat in the house also, we feel uneasy. Just the presence of a mayyat, a person feels uneasy. And this you actually, and it is, actually you are eating that. As it is shown in this case, now also it is, but now Allah Ta'ala has covered it up, we don't see it as such, but that is what it is. Bi ghibat, al-ghibatu, ashaddu min al-zina. It's worse than zina. Zina is such a terrible, as we explained about the zina of the eyes. Eh? The zina of the eyes and where it leads to, and the terrible results of zina. When they are illegitimate children, and then all that harms that come from it, the humiliation that comes to a person, any person who is found guilty of zina or even just suspicion, we should protect ourselves that suspicion also doesn't fall on us. So that it results in homes being broken. Eh? If any of the two partners, usually the man get involved, or even the woman, and that home is broken, the children are left, and they are orphans with their parents living. Nobody to care. How lot of harm. But the ghibat is worse. And the words of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, al-ghibatu ashaddu min al-zina. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Allah reward them. They ask that what if it is the truth you are speaking about your brother? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that is the ghibat. When you are speaking the truth, and you speak behind his back in such a way that whatever you say and it will hurt him, he will feel offended. That is what is ghibat. And if it is that, if it is something you just imagining, some slander, you are just conjecturing it, and you just making up a story, that is slander, and that is even worse than ghibat also. And yet we are so common. And just see, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullahi, our Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Rahmatullahi, detected the great disease, the pandemic of the eye, looking at haram. And Hazrat used to say, this is the pandemic of the time now. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali told that this ghibat is such a common sin that even the gatherings and assemblies of the pious people, the ulama, the sufia, when they also gather, they are not empty void of this ghibat. Ghibat comes in there also. So ghibat comes almost everywhere. And such a terrible crime. And zina is still such a thing. Hopefully you will make tawbah from it. You also realize, even if you're contemplating or you have committed, Allah protect us all, tawbah is hopefully you will make. You will feel ashamed. But ghibat, you feel an achievement that you pointed out the fault of your brother. And you made the people aware of it. And the enjoyment you get, people will roll on their stomachs laughing when we are making ghibat, talking about somebody, some family. And this is such a terrible thing that we make the ghibat about our family people, close family people. One part of the family, but talking about that part of the family. That those people, they did this, this happened to them, that happened to them. It's a common thing and it's like a common discussion. We don't feel it is even haram. And Allahu Akbar. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should say that ghibat Allah Ta'ala has made haram because Allah loves his fellow brother. Allah loves everyone. Hazrat used to give this example, like a father has got 2-3 sons, children, 5-6, and he loves all of them. And when he loves them very much, and one of them has done something wrong, and the other speak bad about him. His ghibat is to tell them, don't speak bad about him. Behind his back, don't speak bad. So Allah loves every creation of his. And he will take them to task as he wants to. He will handle them, treat them as he wants to. But he doesn't want you to speak bad about them. And usually it is that what they have done wrong. And that becomes the cause. But you haven't even got the guts and you haven't got the courage to tell him on his face. And to tell him in a nice way, to win him over. You want to push him further away. And behind his back, which is the sign of a big coward. If somebody has done something wrong, approach him and see how he can be approached and speak to him nicely. And that will be a great ibadat. It will to bring him closer. But just behind his back we speak, it is we are coward, we are spineless. And we are speaking bad, and Allah doesn't like you must speak bad about his anyone. So Allah said, ghibat is haram, that don't speak bad about him. How Allah protected the izzat of every person. And when you have done wrong, still Allah protects you. And Allah Ta'ala puts this covering on you and tells everyone it is haram and it is worse than zina also. And it is the ingredient to break up families, to break up communities and societies. Anyone who knows that somebody spoke bad about me, we feel bad about it. However, there are those people, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, when anyone should speak bad about him, he should go and give that person sweet meat. And our Buzurg say that when somebody is talking bad mouthing you, and not in front of you, in front of others, then if you put a sweet meat in his mouth, then sweet talks will come out. The bad that is talking about you, sweet talks. One such person who used to speak bad about Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayh, and he should spend money on him, give him gifts, etc. Then he realized, he made tawbah, he changed, and he started praising Imam Abu Hanifa. Imam Abu Hanifa stopped giving the presents. So he came and he said, while I was speaking bad about you, bad mouthing you, talking evil about you, you were showering me with gifts all the time. Now when I stopped, now you no more giving me gifts. He says, you are washing my gunas all the time. You are doing me such a great favor. So those who see reality, they don't take offense also. But generally, people take offense if you backbite about them. But those who know reality, will in fact thank them that I've got so many gunas, I at least managed to get my head above the water now. Gunas, I was drowning in my gunas. Now that you washed my gunas for me, I at least got my head above the water. And at least I can hope to get some salvation, somebody to help me. So anyway, this ghibat is a common thing also. And yeah, we should be very careful. Yeah, in the khanqa also, one is with the cell phone, messages also come, that this part of the family, this happened, that person did this, that person did that, and we get involved in it, and we read it, we also become an accomplice, and we also become part and parcel. Worse, if we forward that message, and we put some useless, irrelevant, we add to that message also, on the group, etc., talking about somebody, we also put our comment, is even worse. So, and the others also, while we are here, if we are few brothers, which also happens commonly, we have come, we know one another, we are friends, but we don't meet so commonly. Now we have come to the khanqa, 10 days we are here, and we have an opportunity of sitting and talking, and there we start with ghibat also. And such a way, the way shaitan paints it and makes it, that you don't even realize you are in ghibat. So the safest thing is just to stay on your own. Which Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to talk very little. Hazrat was not known as a speaker at all. Very, very little. In his khanqa also, Hazrat Majlis used to be after supper before Isha. About half an hour, 20 minutes, whatever the time might have been. But Hazrat would not speak. It was a silent Majlis. Few things he used to say. One thing which was common, every year he would repeat this, that he would ask that in khalwat can you have jalwat? In jalwat can you have khalwat? That is, we are in public, we are all with one another, all the time. We are sleeping next to one another, we are sitting and eating next to one another, we are in jalwat. But in that, being in public, can you have privacy? And then Hazrat should give the answer himself. He said, yes, it is possible. That while being in public with everyone, you have your privacy also. Don't just talk to anyone. Just do your work at the most salam. And don't go further than that also. You just do your work. It might be. And also we should remember that during the period of tarbiyat, of training, many permissible things are made haram in fact. Like for example, the training of the three sahaba who did not go out in the battle of Tabuk. Salam was made haram to them. And even if they made salam, to answer the salam was also forbidden. It was not allowed. So many times things which are, like if you enjoy your ice cream, you enjoy your kawabs, But you are sick, doctor says, no kebabs now, until you get better. No ice cream until you get better. So during that period, so we are in a training period. So we don't have to go into more details about anything. And to make salam, to reply to salam is wajib. So you don't have to make salam also. You just do your work. We have come for a purpose and an object. And in order to achieve it, we want our islah to be done. We want our inclination towards Allah, towards deen. So all this we'll have to observe. And all these are the things that we can do. Observe it and do it correctly. We had one very good mu'taqib, Maulana Abdullah Durwesh, rahimahullah. He should come and he should read Quran Sharif whole day. And not speak to anyone. And his habit also was, just as an inspiration, he would go down about towards the end of meals, the iftari time, towards the end, and seri time also. And then he's all the place, the leftover food, that is what he used to eat. He shouldn't go and take fresh food from the pot. All the left and amount we waste is more than enough food for perhaps a whole army also. The amount we waste, it's incredible how we waste. So he used to do that, and what a beautiful mort Allah gave him finally. And he was just an ashik of the Quran Sharif. And he should just read Quran Sharif. So, and he shouldn't mix with anyone. All the time just occupied. Even he just walks past you also, just looks down, and he just walks and he does his own thing. But what a beautiful mort Allah gave him. So Allah give us tawfiq. One other very important thing also, the Quran Sharif says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. And don't speak about those things which you don't know about. Today everyone is not only an expert on a field, he's a super mighty expert. We know nothing of the subject, but the way we are experts, any new thing, scientific thing or anything else in the world, about the virus, the amount of opinions we all got, and about everything else, and about people, the opinions we got about this person and that person, we can make encyclopedias of that, the amount that we have got. And we just talk about any and everything. And Quran Sharif says, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. Don't speak about those things which you don't know about. Something happened, and somebody is reporting. Many times, one time in the king's palace, a child was born to the queen. Then the talk that started, that the child is a bit dark in complexion. As the talk carried on, somebody said, as dark as a bat. Then somebody said, a bat was born. The queen gave birth to a bat. So from one thing, we don't know where it leads to. And we just hear that and no verification. We don't. It's our duty. If we want to establish an opinion for ourselves, first find out. That is even before you tell somebody else about it. When you want to establish an opinion, tell that, don't even establish an opinion. Somebody said something, it came, it's around, you heard it, just dismiss it. Don't worry about it. It hasn't got anything to... If it's something that somebody wants to go and rob your business or something, then find out about it. But just something in the air, which got no relevance to anything, and then we now carriers of it. We become the big news media agency. And the media, the whole media can close down also. They've got enough agencies. We just carry on and forward everything to everyone. So, and we don't know even what the reality is. And the media, not now, in round about 1810 or something, in America, there was a report that the media only report is the medium of spreading all lies, exaggerations, imaginary things. And they, at that time, not Muslims, all non-Muslims, they said it's irreversible of the media. That's about 200-300 years ago. At that time, today, where the media has gone. But we also, the way we take the media, that is the truth that has been spoken. We doubt the Quran Sharif, or we even discard the teachings and of the Quran and Hadith, and what comes in media, that we accept wholeheartedly. That this is what, and media is the means of causing a lot of problems and troubles also. So we don't just talk about anything. What we hear, if you have to, but verify what is the actual thing. And you, for you to go in, as Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam, if they come with a case to you to judge, and you want to judge, then verify first. And if you don't want to judge, it's up to you. You don't have to be the judge. If you are appointed as a judge, you're a judge. But why we have to become judges of everything? And we don't do any investigation. And we're giving without hearing the court case or anything. We don't know anything, and we're giving our judgments also. And what authoritative judgments. Today every person, he gives his view as if he's a big authority on the subject. And the way he knows the details of it. Rather act like a simple person, I know nothing about it. And it doesn't bother me, I don't know anything about it. But if you have to, then don't speak of something until you haven't verified it. Today many things that happen, and the reality is something completely different. And in the process, as the Quran Sharif says, that then you cause great harm to people. If the person comes to you with something, first find out. Otherwise, you will cause harm to people. And we fall into ghibat in that. We fall into false accusation in that. So all these things here, the tongue is very, very important to control. It's a small part of the body, but it is that many, many people will be thrown headlong into the fire of Jahannam with all the ibadat and everything because of this one small part, the tongue. It's so small, the weight of it, a few grams. But the harm or the good of it is also very great. The harm also is very great, and you can use it for good purposes. It's also very, very great. So we should learn. So there's ghibat also. And whenever we want to pass a message or anything, first verify. And in that progress, in that process, the whole thing will just stop there. If you now you have to verify, ask this person, is this the truth? You haven't got the guts to ask that person. So you will just keep quiet about it. It will cut off right there. Also the Quran Sharif says that whatever news comes to you, don't broadcast it. Today that is what the radio is, what the TV is, the media, the newspapers. Whatever they get, and they just broadcast it. And what the actual truth is something completely different. So we also become big broadcasters. Whatever we just, and we pry into the matters of people. One is something came to you, some news. And today our nature is, we go and pry and find out. And wala tajassasu. Don't go and spy on people. Today this is also, and where? A husband spies on his wife. You should have your full trust on your wife. Wife has to spy on her husband. Have to spy. When the husband's ways are such that she's got strong grounds now to spy on him. All the wrong that he's doing, we are now brought to spying on husband and wife spying on one another. This is like in the time of the Soviet Union, when husband couldn't trust wife, parents couldn't trust children. They didn't know who's the spy for the government. Unfortunately, now also, when discovered also how many people were spying for the government. And the police were not interested in taking up the thing. But these people were forcing and telling the police, we'll go to higher authority. And then we're spying on one another also. Husband is spying on the wife. And it brings to a person, there are such cases reported, that the husband, even when the wife goes to the toilet, he's spying on her. That there also, that was not when cell phones were around. Now with cell phone, it's possible it can, what can be happening there on the cell phone. But when cell phones were not around, there also he's spying that he's involved with somebody, is he engaged with somebody, what is happening there. So this is also a thing that we should be very, very careful. This ghibat also is a terrible guna. And to talk about other people and not knowing what the reality is. And this is all community gossip. And the way we enjoy community gossip, and in the families also, and one part of the family, like usually 3-4 brothers, sisters, whatever, and as they grow up, everyone has got his own family. Then the one family now always looking for faults of the other family. And in the family this carries on. In the town it carries on. And the ulama, especially the imam, etc., they are under the spotlight all the time. And people are just watching and having all the time some comments they want to make about them. So we should be very, very careful. And when speaking also, the tongue, there are many other related issues also. That, for example, speaking in a loud voice and speaking in a soft, that also is very, very important. That that the Quran Sharif says, قُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. Say the right thing, say the straight thing. Say it in the right way. Say it in the right mode. One is, you can, how Haji Bhai Padia Rahmatullah Ali should give this example. You are speaking on the phone. And as you are speaking, you say, G, G, G. And it's understood you are agreeing with the person. And then you say, G. That is, you are disagreeing. What did you say? You know what you are saying. Just that tone of it, it shows the difference. So when we are speaking also, how we speak, many times between husband and wife, these things commonly happen. That the way he told me, and then the husband will say, I just said it, I didn't raise my voice or something. Many times we don't realize what is the raising of the voice also. And when a person raises, and a person goes on silent mode, that is also one thing. Many of us, whether it's the wife or the husband, an argument, one just goes in a silent mode. And that is also offensive. That and they justify themselves. When we speak, it's wrong. When we don't speak, it's wrong. Everything is wrong. But there is a reason for it. So all these things with regard to speech, we still have to learn how to speak. How to speak to one's wife. Don't offend her. Don't upset her. And many of us, we make even jokes. And our jokes also, we cause big problems. We don't know how to make jokes. Many a wife will say to the husband, the husband will say, I was just joking. You don't even know how to joke. You are hurting me. You are tearing my heart into pieces. And you say you are just joking. So all these things are very important. How the imam also, when for example the mic, generally it's being used by all. But if you just got 3-4 musallis, now what's the need of the mic? There is no need. And the ruling is that according to the number of musallis, the imam's volume of his voice should be accordingly. If there are more people, he should get an imam. And the imam himself should read more loudly. A few people came, now they read softly. How many of us, we are talking on the phone. And yeah, right in the masjid, the wuzu khana we see. The person is speaking to somebody, and it looks like he's not using the phone. He's speaking directly to that person in his country. The way he's speaking so loudly, as though he's speaking directly to him. He doesn't need the phone also. So all this we should see, that how we are speaking, etc. So, and together with the speaking goes the listening also, which we are reading in the etiquette all the time, that don't pry into affairs. Make known you are there. Perhaps whatever is discussion is not for your ears. And there are many things which are permissible, but they are not for your ears. So we should control ourselves in this matter. So speaking is also very important. Then the Quran Sharif, Surah Hujurat, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali should say that it is revealed in particularly to teach the etiquette of the Shaykh. And Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali should say that Surah Hujurat is to teach us adab, etiquette generally. That how we should speak, and Allah give us topic to understand it correctly also. Allah Ta'ala says one great etiquette, لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ. Don't raise your voice
above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that also ulama has explained in various ways, that in the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't you speak more loudly. That is, if I'm in charge of this gathering. No, it is a gathering of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. What Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, his hadith, etc., accept it wholeheartedly. When you giving a contrary view, you are also raising your voice above the voice of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are giving your opinion against and above the opinion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that also, and in the home, with your parents, don't raise your voice highly in front of your mother, your father. And this also today has become, unfortunately, living in this Western society, living with the animals of the animal jungle. We also, children tell their parents openly that don't shout at me, don't tell me what to do. And children shout back at their parents, especially at the mother. And the mother, she has to be respected very much more greatly. One person wouldn't eat meals with his mother in the same plate. For one reason, that if her eyes was on a certain piece of meat, and I took it, it will cause her a little bit harm. For that reason, so how much he considered his mother, but today this is thrown right out of the window. We don't consider it. We're living in with the animals of the animal kingdom, and unfortunately those things. We have lost complete track of what etiquette of parents are. So we must, our parents, we should not speak loudly in front. Don't raise our voices. One time, one student came to me in the office many, many years ago. Said, I've got a problem. What's your problem? My parents don't want to listen to me. Now, must the parents listen to the child or the child listen to the parents? The whole thing is gone upside down. And he's still claiming his right also. He doesn't know he's in a complete wrong. He has to be put in jail, imprisoned and given lashes there. But he's coming and claiming his right, that the parents must listen to him. So لا ترفعوا أصواتكم فوق صوت ولا تجهروا له بالقول كجهر بعضكم بعضا. And don't speak like you speak to anyone else. Especially for Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and where there is a gathering, Allahu Akbar. On one occasion, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi and Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahumullah had a discussion in Masjid al-Nabawi from Isha till Fajr on various masail, and with utmost of respect for one another. Views are completely different, but they are presenting their arguments, they are discussing it, and in what an honorable way. But today with us, how we run down people. Hey, the person must just differ with us, and all that you must respect the views. But I don't respect his views also. Hey, one person was complaining to one alim, said to another person, complaining about the topi, and he said, you got a topi cult, that this group, these people who had this specific type of topi. That is a complete different discussion, but the point, he told him that you're wearing this topi with 1,000 holes in it. So, and the same Maulana was wearing a topi, this knitted topi, which are made with 10,000 holes. So we don't realize what we have got, and we're finding fault with other people. We want all to listen to us. I'm right, I'm the authority. And don't think you're the authority, but I'm the authority. We say, don't speak in such a way as though you know, as you are the big authority on it. But I'm guilty of the same thing. So that is one great aspect of speech also. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَغُضُّونَ أَصْوَاتُهُمْ عِنَّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Those who keep their voices low, they have been passed by Allah in the test. They have been tested and they have passed. So learn to speak. And argument is not won by raising the voice. An argument is won by the arguments that you present. Between many people in families, especially when it comes to inheritance, and the person who doesn't want to distribute the inheritance, not even by law or by Sharia, he just wants to hold on to it. Anyone speaks about it, he raises his voice. And he shouts about it. So the others, usually the women folk, the younger brothers, they all just have to keep quiet. And in fact, they take the attitude then, don't speak about it. He'll get very cross. He'll shout. He'll get very angry. We're using this, what Allah gave us, this tongue and this voice of ours, the mode of it and the volume of it. We're also using it for haram purposes in order to stay on that haram money. And it is causing us harm. But what we do to control it and to let no one speak about it, we just raise our voice. So the control of the voice and the volume of it is also very, very important. And then Allah says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُنَادُونَكَ, shouting out at you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the etiquette of the ulama also, the etiquette of the mashayikh also is taught, that don't shout out your voice, don't raise it, and don't shout out at them. And more details also about that don't put your opinion as a strong opinion against theirs. If you are the ulama, respect them, respect their views also. And in jaakum fasiqun fatabayyanu. And if a fasiq comes and he brings some news, first verify it. Don't just give your opinion on the social groups. Don't just put on your view also and add your piece also. You also have to say something. And then Allah Ta'ala says that if you will talk about all this, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانِ, if you learn to control your tongue and the aspects of the tongue, you will get the sweetness of Iman. Allah will put the sweetness of Iman in your heart. If you learn to control your eyes and don't look at haram, Allah will put the sweetness of Iman, and يَجِدُهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ, he will feel that sweetness of Iman in his heart. He will see now his heart inclining to ibadat, munajat, talking to Allah, tilawat, having discussion with Allah Ta'ala. He will enjoy his sajda. And when the heart is not in that condition, namaz, to meet Allah, namaz, is like a burden for us. We want to avoid that meeting with Allah Ta'ala. If we do it, we have to do it, it's farz for us, last minute we just come. And we are the first to leave again. No enjoyment. And there are so much virtues of coming earlier and waiting for namaz, whether it's for a minute or two. And after namaz, don't just jump up and go away also. Sit still, read some wazifas. A little bit, make your connection with Allah, and then in a nice way you leave from the masjid. This we just come last minute to the masjid, no sunnahs also, we just there for the farz, and many cases this becomes then that we are missing one, two rakats. Sometimes we just getting the imam before he's making salam. What kind of a meeting with Allah Ta'ala? This last minute meeting. So Allah Ta'ala wants about that, and get the sweetness of Iman. Control of the tongue will give us the sweetness of the Iman. When two groups are fighting, then also just don't take part with any group. Find out about the reality. And when it is necessary, and according to the status of a person, everyone doesn't have to know everything. A person, for example, a mufti, he has to know a lot, he has to know the slang language also of people, because he has to give his fatwas according to that. What people are talking, that also he has to know, but you're not a mufti, so why must you know about that? You leave that to the mufti, he'll find out. Ulama who are giving like public talks, they have to know what's happening, so that they can talk accordingly. Otherwise, people will be hungry and you'll be giving them clothes to wear. People haven't got clothes to wear and you're giving them food. To give them the right thing, you have to be informed. But everyone doesn't have to be. So if you are not, you're a house. Hazrat Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali says, warns against teaching girls geography. Why? What they need geography for? He says you are preparing them to run away from home. They will come to know about other towns, about other places, about the details. Now they will be prompted to also run away from home. Otherwise, they don't know what you need, and a worldly education, what you need, not secular education, worldly education, how much you need, and to the extent of the need, acquire so much. Everyone's need is not the same. Everyone's need is different. According to that extent, we should get it, we should acquire that. So, لَا يَسْخَرْ قَوْمٌ مِّن قَوْمٍ, again with the tongue, where we belittle, where we humiliate, where we disgrace other people. This is also very common, whether it's on a one-on-one, husband with his wife, say such terrible things about her, and belittles her in front of her children also. It tells us that things unimaginable, that how can a husband tell his wife, you are not beautiful, you are dirty, you are lazy, and in front of the children, all this is totally not permitted. All this has to do with the tongue, what we do. Allah says, you don't know, somebody might be much better than you. You are thinking that you big authority, today you have got that position and you are taking advantage, but you may be a more greater wrongdoer. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann. Before talking, your thoughts, and when you want to talk, then this is also very important, that our thoughts be correct. We first talk and then we think what we have to say. A person should think properly and then he should say. That will already cut our speech. If we think and speak, it will cut our speech by half. Because when we start thinking, then it will take us time. And then putting things in order, what I must speak, etc. And then our speech. And the basic thing is, there were those buzurgs, as we mentioned, who used to keep in the Sharia of before, Roza of not talking. Those buzurgs who controlled their murid, especially with the talking, that they made the arrangements that the murid must not speak at all. He must just keep quiet. So this is a very important thing, and it's a few days that if we exercise and do our exercise, what we have to do, these are the exercises. We don't need all the jamming and the jogging on the roads, and neither the woman need that. What we need is these spiritual exercises. And we will exercise them, and then we will get the fruit. And silence is very sweet. It is very, very enjoyable. But unfortunately, this treasure has been snatched away from us. And all of us feel that we have to be speaking all the time. Allah give us tawfiq to understand the great importance, value of the tongue. And also the great harm of the tongue when it is used wrongly. Ghibat is a terrible thing. Fault finding is a terrible thing. And these are arts today. A politician is only a politician if he is a master in lying. One other big thing of the tongue also, the lying, which is a very big guna also. And lying and iman don't go together. A person is a mu'min or is a liar. But this also with our tongue, the amount of lies we speak. And unnecessary, when a person gets into that and he doesn't think, for no reason he's lying. One is it's not valid at all, but to save your skin you lie. But one for no reason, it just becomes your nature then, and you just lie. And many of the satis complain, this has become my habit, I just lie, for no reason also. So there are many, many harms of the tongue. Let us basically learn to control the tongue, and the safest way is just not to speak, but when it is absolutely necessary. And when it is necessary, then we speak, and that speech then is beautiful. Is wonderful. In Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayhi's dars, there was one student who looked like a very great allama, dressing, etc., his way, and a great, great Sufi. Imam Shafi'i was giving his dars. One day he said, when the sun sets, then it's time for iftari, and you open your roza. That day he asked a question, and he said, what if the sun does not set? So Imam Shafi rahmatullah say, I always thought you were a great learned person, a person with deep thought and fast insight. Today I realize how stupid you are. If you kept quiet, your respect should still be in my heart. You spoke and you gave yourself away. Where the sun is not going to set? According to the system of Allah, it's going to set. And what a question that if the sun doesn't set then? So sometimes by our talking, we give away what we are also. And this is also where the other enemies on the spree, calls, etc., they are taking advantage and they are getting out what we are. And we ourselves, we not realizing who we are. Allah give us all tawfiq, the tongue to control it, and to everything else we control, and we become truly obedient. It's a few days exercise. Do it, and a person who is blessed with the control of his tongue, with the control of his eyes, he himself will know what enjoyment he gets. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.